Praise God. And as we're talking about this pillar of unity and fellowship and what it looks like in the body of Christ, how we're supposed to be of one mind, one body, one heartbeat. That's really what God wants in His church, that we would be so closely knit together that the deceptions of this world wouldn't be able to divide us. You know, that we could be so closely knit together that we could have differences and still love each other, just like a family does. Any of y'all have family people? Or were y'all single children? Did you have problems with your family? I did. I had three sisters, and we loved each other. Oh, you had three brothers. All right, so we're the same, only different. And so I bet your brothers never held you down, tickled you, and put a bra on you. Yeah.
No, they didn't. They did the first two.
Yeah, first two, yeah. Or my sister just older than me, she caught a toad frog one time, cut its legs off, cooked them with a match, and made me eat them.
Yeah. Like chicken.
It didn't hurt me, needy. So I became afraid. I'd no longer go in the water any deeper than a frog. How deep does a frog go? Knee deep. So anyhow, ba-dum-boom. Yeah, my brother.
But the better part of the family is I can fight with my brother, yes, but you're not going to.
Amen. You come against one of my sisters, I will rip your tongue out and tie it around your neck. You know? And but that's because we're family, right? Yeah. Somebody comes against y'all, I will stand up. I'll do what I have to defend you, no doubt, because I love you. You're my family. And there are family members. There is a closeness, a unity that is closer than blood. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ that unites us together. And being truly united in Christ Jesus, that's where we get our strength. When we joy together, amen, and we weep together. There are times that we have hard times in our life and we come together and you know that you've got a resting place here amongst the brethren that we can come love each other. Marriage in our senior years, right? And when you come to that, man, what a glorious time it is. We celebrate those things together. You find a long lost daughter, right? And we celebrate together with the family and the, I'm so happy you finally got grandkids. Man.
And, all in the same day.
All in the same day. Amen. Like, unwrap it and ta-da, there they are. And it's going to be such a celebration for us to enjoy life with you. We're living vicariously through that great time. When we come together, when we suffer with one another, we grow closer together. That's the unity. That's the fellowship that we're called to in the believers. That there should be no schism between us. And I like that word schism. That doesn't mean that we don't have disagreements. Because like I said, all of us and all of our families, we all have disagreements. If you got a sibling. If you got a sibling, you got a disagreement. Amen. Ain't none of us that have ever had a brother or sister that we didn't argue with or have a different way of thinking about things from time to time. Amen. And but God always keeps us together, always reunites those things, always makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And so in those schisms, we find unity. We can be different and still the same. We can have different thoughts and still the same. Long as we're united and heading in the same direction, how can two walk together, right, that are not of the same? Unless they agree, right? Unless they agree. How can we walk together unless we agree? And that doesn't mean that we always agree on every point, but we agree on the main points. We agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? That makes me together. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God, if you've believed in Jesus as your Savior, that the Comforter is living in you. Let us make our abode. Right? It's what Jesus said. If you have trusted Him, that makes us family. And we've said this 1,000 times, Joshua and I, when we met in the woods, although it was a little hairy at first, all right, because he had his little babies with him, little kids, they were walking in the woods, and I had my dog running in the woods off of the trail, and he had a big stick, and he was about ready to send my dog to dog heaven, right? We met in the woods, but there was a kindred spirit that happened immediately. immediately, quick, because I knew he wasn't going to kill my dog, right? There was a kindred spirit there, right? And we've been tied ever since then. You know, and why? Because it's the Spirit of God in him, in me. Now, I didn't understand. He didn't understand why I didn't have my dog on a leash. And I didn't understand why he didn't have his kids on a leash. You know? But I'm sorry, that was a total joke, right? There was nothing true about that except for us meeting in the woods and him about ready to kill my dog because she was happy to see people, right? And he didn't know about her, right? But anyhow, there's that unity in the Spirit, in fellowship. There's a supernatural attraction with other Christians, right?
Right.
I can't explain it any other way. Except when you know somebody, there's something in Amanda, right? I mean, she's a wonderful lady, but there's something deeper in Bonnie, something deeper in Justin that attracts me to you.
Same Spirit of God.
Same, amen. It's an invisible spirit. Just like we do not war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly. There's something up there that we're fighting against that we don't know. There's something in here that really unites us that is deeper than what we see. Amen? Because y'all see some things in me that you probably don't like, right? And if you don't, talk to my wife. We've been together 24 years. She could probably point out a few things, right, that could lead you in that direction. But there's a spirit that keeps us together in unity. So the title for today, and we're going to be in Ephesians all day today. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to end up in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to hit some other scripture and stuff as we go through this. The title for the sermon today, or for the teaching, is Unity's Desire. Okay, Unity's Desire is One in Christ. All right, it can either be spelled W-O-N, like you have victory, or O-N-E. Both of those would work here. The desire of togetherness is only really accomplished, or even hungered or thirsted or sought after, as you are in Christ Jesus. Right? I don't have the desire to be around a lot of folks that don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Right? And it's not that I don't love them, because I do love them, but if I'm going to come and hang out with somebody, I want to hang out with somebody, you know, that is like me and you, that has the same Lord, right? That doesn't mean that I don't love those who don't have the same Lord as I do, because they're caught in a snare, just like I was caught in a snare. That doesn't mean that I don't like them. It does mean that I prefer to be around people with a like spirit, right? And it's a preference. I desire to be around you. When those who are in the same spirit, the same conversion, we start to realize that there's a need for unity, the coming together of Christ through individuals. Before I knew God, I didn't feel like I needed to be around other Christians. In fact, it hurt me to be around. I didn't want to be around other Christians. I wanted to be people that were of the same spirit as I was. I wanted the party group, right? I wanted the cold brewski on the weekends or weekdays or anytime I could get one, right? But I wanted to be around that mindset of people, the parties, the nasty talkers, the people that liked anger and violence and stuff like that. That's who I wanted to hang out with. Why? Because that was my spirit. But when I got converted, when something changed in me, all of a sudden, I didn't really want to hang out with those kind of people anymore. I didn't want to be associated with them. I didn't want to have that unity that I had with them. I found myself being separated from that. And then God put a new heart in me, a new magnetism to people that were not of that type. He put a magnetism in me for those who really desire Jesus Christ in their life. And I wanted to come and glean from people that have the same spirit and learn from people that have the same spirit, to be encouraged by people who have the same spirit, and by the grace of God that I might be able to encourage one other person that that I'm in that group with, right? So it's not just about me receiving encouragement, but it's me dispensing encouragement, the edifying of the body of Christ. And that began a desire, all right? I mean, a deep-seated longing for those people who have the same spirit that I have, a spirit of unity, a fellowship, a family, right? A family that's deeper than your brothers and your sisters, my brother. Yeah, amen. Started on a different path. You're right, Joshua. In a very real world, we started on a different path when we started believing the voice of God, the confirmation of the united spirit of God within the true church. Because there are churches out there that are not the church. A church just means somebody who is called out, all right, who is just a golf club, right? A hunting club could be considered a church, ecclesia. A golf club, you're called out from the folks who play hockey because there's a hockey club and they're called out from the folks who are shootists, right? And, you know, there's just different groups, different cliques. Our clique is a clique that's made in heaven. Our clique is a clique that's made through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our clique is a clique that's not of something external like sporting events or something like that, but is an internal gathering, right? It's the very heart and the desire of holiness. I need you to lead me on that way, and I need to lead you on that way into the righteousness of God. And so in these things, said all that to start preaching, start teaching, to remember who we're supposed to be. So let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on this time that we're going to gather. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, Your goodness, Your grace. I do pray, Father, Lord, as we're looking into this this to get this unity, this oneness, this being called out of the world into the light of God, into the conversion, transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would cling to each other, that we would cling to You, and that Your love would be seen living fervently in the hearts of those that are Your children, Lord, one for another. With one mind. And we'll look into those things, Father, by Your grace. Lord, as I speak these things, again, help me to decrease that You would increase, Lord. And we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so He called us out of darkness into His light for a reason. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Why are you part of the church? Why did God call you, the individual, out of darkness into His light? That He might show His exceeding riches in His grace. For all time to come. That when we are in the heavenly realms, we're united in the building, in the true New Jerusalem in heaven, and He's going to look together with the church, these folks who are pillars in the house of God that cannot be removed, that have a new name, the new name of New Jerusalem, the name of the Son and the name of the Father on them, and they're pillars in that church, in the kingdom, in the New Jerusalem, your pillars there, and the angels come by and say, Father God, why did You choose Nancy? He said, that my exceeding grace, right? And we could say that for each of us, that my exceeding grace was poured out on them because they were made in the likeness and image of God. And I want them to be one as Me and the Father, Jesus and the Father are one. Let them be one, united. And that's in John chapter 17. By the grace of God, we'll touch on that a little bit today, right? That we'll be one. That the world, that they will be one as we are one. That's really what God wants, is us to be united with one mind, one spirit, one thought, one motion. You know, as we see the world going one direction, as we see the perversion of the Olympic Games going in one direction, we need to be going in a totally opposite direction. When we see the division of the family going in one direction, We need to be joining together and going in a completely opposite direction, one of holiness and righteousness and love and peace and joy and gentleness and long-suffering. We need to be following the fruit of the Spirit of God in such a way that the world becomes less and less attractive. Amen? I don't want us as the church to be attracted to the things that are not godlike. Why? That in the ages to come, for millennia, for eternity, when you're there in the kingdom of God, and he says, Tom, the angels say, Tom? And God says, yeah, Tom, right? He's mine. He is in my blood. I baptized him with the Spirit of God. I called him out of darkness into my glorious light, that you angelic host might know that Tom is a chosen vessel, that Alan is a chosen vessel of mine to be united, to be one with me as Christ is with the Father. It really concerns me, those folks who call themselves Christian that don't want to be around other Christians. It concerns me that they would rather spend time watching people drive around in circles really, really fast, right? It bothers me that they would desire to spend time watching that godless demonstration of human ability, pride, gold medals, because I can hang from a rope and do flips more than anybody else. Now, I'm not saying that the people that are competing in that aren't Christian. They're very well may could be. But they showed their real color when in their opening ceremony. They showed who they really are, what the power behind that is.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
It's really been bothering me. When they did that, you know, we could look at those people and know that that's Satan.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's a devil, no doubt.
I think what he was really trying to do is to provoke us to feel hate. You know what I mean? To make us falter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And that was like eating at me. My first reaction, I was angry.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't angry at it.
Yeah.
You know? No more angry than when you see a dog doing what a dog does.
Yeah.
You know? They are blinded. They're united with their father, the devil, right? They are. Mm-hmm. And I just like any wild animal caught in a trap, my heart goes out to them. Absolutely it does. Anybody who's not born again, they're caught in a snare of Satan. And I agree with you, brother. This isn't to provoke hate. They are unified in their belief system. They are together, right? They really do. And there's a difference between them and us. Now, I don't agree with what they do. And again, they don't agree with what I do. They don't believe that there is one true God, the God of the Bible, right?
The thing is, they attack the one true God.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they didn't do that against Allah or
Muhammad. You're absolutely right.
The very people that would throw them off a building.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We are told to be angry and
sin not.
So
yeah.
When I see an image of blasphemy, that does anger me.
Yeah.
But like you said, it doesn't make me hate them.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. You should have a broken heart for their deception. But I was angry and I sinned not.
Yeah.
I just had two quick things. God gives us our ability to choose. You know, and all those other, which I wouldn't even... Not that it matters to me, but I don't try not to even mention their names, other little g gods.
Right.
There's no power in them.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's power in God's word. It's living. Effective, you know what I mean? And God Almighty is all powerful and almighty, and there's real power there. So you don't. The people aren't going to attack a dead fish.
Right.
They're going to attack something that's alive. That when they see Christians and see the light of Jesus, that it. You don't even have to say anything, and it just burns them because of the sin that they're in. You don't have to say, well, you're living in sin.
Mm-hmm.
No, your spirit, our spirit, if people are saved, witnesses to other people's spirits without even saying anything. That's why they attack God Almighty and apparent suffering.
And in this deception that we're talking about, they're trying to deceive people to make make us think that it's all right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be sucked into that. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are united in Christ Jesus, just as they are united in their father, Lucifer.
Yeah.
They're united in that thought. And I pray that God would set them free from that.
Yeah.
But that perversion that we saw that was happening is no different than people preaching out of a different Bible. It's no different than the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or any other denomination that doesn't preach the unperverted Word of God. How much of a living unity in unrighteousness will send you away from hell? Anyone? Come on, it's simple. And a living, having your heart, your life, living in an unrighteousness, something that's sin, iniquity. How much iniquity is going to be welcome into the kingdom of God?
Zero.
How much unity in Christ, belief in Christ, will be accepted into the kingdom of God? Okay. So those who are not united in Christ, then they are united in anti-Christ. Okay? So their unity is just as sure as our unity is. Now, Jesus called us out of darkness into his exceeding grace that he might show his kindness towards us throughout all generations.
And those two are diametrically opposed to each other.
Yes, they are just positive and negative. They're diametrically opposed to one another. But that doesn't mean I hate those people. Those people were made in the likeness and image of God. Their consciousness, their unity has been darkened by the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of
the eyes.
Thank you, brother. So, because I'm steering off a little bit from where we're going, but this is a good conversation. Why? Because there's a deception, right? If you're here for Sunday morning, we're talking about truth, the truth that will set you free, and be not deceived, because God is unleashing a deception on those who do not love the truth. That doesn't mean that we don't mourn for those who are lost. I mourn for them. I really do. Why? Because I was there. Amen? I was there. I was caught in the snare of Lucifer, in the snare of the devil, and I was basking in the as Peter would call it, the vomit of a dog. Right? And I was constantly going back and lapping that stuff up until the day that God came and he set me free. He set me free by his truth, by his love, by his grace. And he gave me a new family. He gave me a new unity in the heart of the believers. Right? In the heart of those that are converted. It's not that I've forgotten who I was, because I have an enemy, the devil, that accuses the brethren how often? Continuously. And I have him on my back, in my ear, every single time that I sin and I come short of the glory of God, telling me, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. But then I have the truth of God's word saying that Jesus died for my sin. And if I confess those sin and repent from those sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of that sin. Right? And lead me into most righteousness. No, how much?
Cleanse me.
Yeah. How?
First John 1:9.
Amen. Amen. I memorized that. I memorized that out of a transliteration of the Bible. That's why I always say it wrong. And I always say it wrong because I memorized it from the wrong Bible. All right? So it's burned in my consciousness. That's why it's so important to have the right Word of God. There's a difference between cleansed, right? And what was the word I used? Anyhow, praise God, I can't think of it now. You know, there's a difference between those words. Being united in Christ in the family of God means that I am a new creature, not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness, right? I am united not to the works of darkness anymore, which the rest of the world is, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, They have sealed their fate until the day of illumination. And there are some that have turned their hearts so hard against the truth that they cannot hear the word of God. Amen?
Jesus said about them, they hated me without a cause. And like you were saying, why don't they do this to Muhammad? Why don't they do this? Why him? It's because, what cause do you hate him that you blaspheme him like this? What cause is there? Love your neighbor? Thou shalt not kill? What cause is there for them to hate him like this?
And the only reason they can't see is this next verse. They think their salvation is in their works.
Right.
All right? It tells us in the next verse, for by grace you are saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right? God said, I saved you that you might walk not as the Gentiles walk, but as God walks. That you would be united not with the world, but you'd be united with Christ Jesus. That you wouldn't be one in darkness anymore, but you would be connected, one, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of believers. Now, wherefore, wherefore, remember, ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, do not forget that you were one of those people that was an enemy of God. You were. All of us were born sinners. There's not one righteous in and of himself. We were all born naturally rebelling against truth. We all were.
Conceived in sin.
Conceived in sin. Amen. Before we were born.
Yes.
When our mom and dad were making babies. That very connection. Sin passed from Adam unto all men. And Jesus came and made a way of righteousness for how many? All men, every human. It doesn't. When I say men, don't think of a male. Think of human, right? The human race, right? It's all people. Jesus came and made a way that we could be united with him, that we could be one with him, that we could be one with one another as we're gathered together in him, right? So, and don't forget who you were. But don't bathe in who you used to be. Amen? How can I have compassion on those who are of that Olympic thing? I didn't mean to even bring that up in the sermon today, but praise God that I did. How can I have compassion on those folks? Is because without the grace of God, I would be right with them. I would be agreeing with them. I would be saying what they're doing is right and righteous.
Love thy neighbor has no conditions.
Thank you, my brother.
Doesn't point yes. out
the, amen. Which brother?
Which neighbor?
Which yeah, amen. And are we all not all family?
One blood.
One blood. When Noah got off the ark, how many families came with him? One.
One blood.
His.
One blood. His. Amen. Now from that, a lot of perversion happened, right? We can go to Nimrod. We can go through the history of God's people in the world. There became a division of light and darkness. Just like after God made everything and he said, it is good. You go through Genesis and the creation, and he said, it is good after everything he made, except for man. And then he said, it's not good that men should live alone, right? So he made a help meet. Right? Which caused all the problem in the world. No, sorry. It did not. All right, sorry. God knew that we needed Adam to have compassion for his wife because God knew that God, Jesus Christ, was going to have compassion for the church. And he became a man that he might be tempted in every way, just like us, and yet without sin. Adam, same thing. He accepted the sin of his bride, and he enveloped her in love, and thus he allowed sin to come in into all the world and pollute all of humankind. But I don't think that was out of ignorance or out of spite. I think it was a picture of Jesus Christ.
Jesus became human because God the Father could not be tempted in his God, in his Godhead. He couldn't do it. What are you going to do when you go to heaven? What are you going to tempt God with? So God became flesh that he might be tempted in every way, just like men, and then show us a way through the unity of the Father and the unity of the Son, through the unity of the Spirit, that we could be one with him and one with each other in righteousness. So don't forget who you were. I was a child of Adam. Now I've been born again and I have a new name. All right? I'm no longer drunkard, drug addict, adulterer. I'm no longer thief, robber, fighter, warrior. Well, warrior just in a different way. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm not a fighter warrior anymore. I'm not looking for blood. I'm looking for grace. And I'm looking for grace for those folks that are caught in the snare of Satan. But by the grace of God, I would be right there with them. Amen?
Yeah.
I would be, so I don't put myself above them in any way. I remember that I was a Gentile, and I was uncircumcised by them which are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12. That at times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and come and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which are nigh. For though through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, now therefore you are no longer more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are not built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now we're going to back up and we're going to dig into what I just read. All right, in unity. Now think of unity and look at how many words that he used here that draw us together, right? So if we back up a little bit, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were once over on this side, well, on the left. We were once on the left. Right? And we were going to be left out of Christ. But God, he drew Tom and he drew Debbie and he drew Bonnie, he drew all of us. He drew us together through his blood, through his sacrifice, that we might have peace with God. Who here wants peace with God? Amen? Now, a lot of people want a peace of God, right? But they don't want the peace of God with God. Right? The peace with God and the peace of God. So I want when I'm in trouble, I want to be able to cry out to the Lord and he help me. But I don't want to live a lifestyle that is representing Jesus Christ on every day. Right? So you want the idea of God, the idea of Christianity, but you don't want the unity of Christ, which tells us that we have been bought out of darkness and brought into his light. And that we should no longer walk as the other, as our old life was. We shouldn't walk as the Gentiles walk. We ought to have a holy and a chaste and a separate desire of unity, a desire of oneness.
I want to be around Christians. I just do. Amen? I just do. Now, does that mean that I don't have any association with those who aren't Christian? No. I have all kinds of friends. I'll call them acquaintances. Well, friends, but they're not family. Amen? They're not a family of God. Are we families through Adam's race? Amen. We're human. He is my neighbor. A neighbor is not a brother. Amen? I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. My brother. I'm supposed to love the body of Christ, to choose the unity that is in Christ Jesus above the old contracts, the old lifestyle that I used to have. It's still there, right? I have a wolf in the back of my mind, right? In the back of my life. And he's constantly chasing and nipping and asking me to come out and play with him all the time.
Right.
But I choose, because of the love of Christ, not to go there. I choose because of the Word of God and the fear of the Lord. Right? There's a real fear. I fear that if I go back, God will leave me back there. Right? I do. Because I know my flesh. Right? And I know that there's nothing good that dwells in me, short of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. So if I choose to go back to the old way, God will say, you can go back to the old way, but don't expect that you will be welcomed back into the house.
There's no promise to that.
There's no, amen, there's no promise to that. Not that you won't be, because I know I have fallen. Amen? But the Spirit of God never left me, because I was never comfortable there. When, I don't know if this is the same with you, but when I sin, and folks, I sin, when I sin, it is not comfortable. I don't want to be there.
You know it.
And I know it.
You know it.
Y'all might look at me on Sunday or Wednesday or sometime and say, wow, he's a holy man. No, you weren't there when I took my wrench and I threw it through the radiator of my truck because I was mad. You weren't there. My grandkids, my family was there. You weren't there when I lost my temper with my stepson. I was on the verge of blows. And that should not be for a pastor. I should not be a striker. First thing I want to do is hit him right in the throat to shut him up. That's the truth. But God. Right? But God, he scaled down the thing. Because we were going to break that fancy cabinet that I made for my wife. We were going to roll. But and it would have not been pretty. Right? It would have not been pretty. But God. Right? I'm telling you this to let you know that I'm like you. That there's no difference between me and the vicious animal of who I used to be. The only thing is the grace of God, the mercy of God, that reminds me of who I am in Christ Jesus and not who I was as a Gentile without Christ. Right?
Sometimes you get pretty far before he gets to you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. But again, think about this. I was at Home Depot. I told y'all, the men's group, this a couple, I may have told everybody this last week, I don't know. At Home Depot, and I had a couple of, they're $1.18 a piece, pipe thingies, that you clamp, pipe clamps, right? A quarter inch ones, small ones. And I was walking through the store, I had them in my hand, I was rolling them around. I walked right out the door. I didn't even think nothing about it. I didn't think nothing about it when I sat down in my car. But when I went to put my keys in, I had these things in my hands. The Lord told me, you just stole those. It was $1.18. Right? Amen? And I could have set them down in my little cup holder and drove away and not thought nothing else about it. But there was a filth that came, that you stole that. And I was taking the name of God for $1.18 and turning it into garbage for $1.18.
So I didn't even crank my truck. I immediately got out. I didn't even lock my truck. I always lock my truck in Home Depot parking lot because they will steal your socks out of there, dirty socks. So anyhow, I got out and I went back in. I told her that I walked out with these. And she said, why did you bring that back? I said, because I'll stand before God someday. And he's going to remind me that I took the name of Jesus Christ for $1.18 and stole. I said, I fear God. I paid the deal and I walked out. Well, see, that's the difference between the old man and the new man. The new man, I can't do those things.
The Lord provided you with a witnessing opportunity. Amen. With the cashier.
Even with the cashier. Yeah, she's still scratching her head. That's the craziest thing. But see, the difference is in my old self, even when I was calling myself a deacon at Open Door Baptist Church, I don't think I would have brought that back.
You could justify
that. I could have justified.
They might have cheated me once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I deserve that. It's the least I could do. But I can't do that anymore. Why? I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a pillar in the house of God. And I don't want my pillar to be smudged for $1.18 or for $2 million or $2 billion or anything that this world would provide. So that unity between me and Christ, that's what that was. The Father loved me so much to test me. You call yourself a Christian, you know that no thief is going to heaven. Amen? Scripture, I can show it to you right in Galatians, right? I show you that. No thief. No whoremonger. No liar. No coward. I show you that in Revelation. No coward is going to be allowed into heaven. Okay, do I want to go to heaven? Yeah. Am I willing to die? Yeah. I'm willing to die. Not a physical death. I mean, I'm not going to go out and jump in front of a truck right now. But you know what? That thief in me, I'm willing to sacrifice that. I'm willing to kill it. I'm willing to have the unity of the brethren over the unity of the world. Right? I desire that unity to a point that it changes me. And so, we're 14. For his peace. Ooh. Who wants peace with God? If I would have kept that, if I would have kept that $1.18, I guarantee you right now, I would not be at peace with God. Right? I guarantee you, it would probably be bothering me so bad right now that I may not be able to preach. Because I know that this little itty-bitty thing caused me to stumble and blacken the name of my Savior for $1.18. See the difference? I don't want to lose the peace with God. I don't want to lose the peace of God. Now, I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I have the peace of God as I walk with Jesus Christ. Right? The peace of God is different than peace with God. When you accept, I wouldn't have lost my salvation over $1.18. I would have lost my testimony. Right? I would have lost that God would have looked at me and said, I can trust that guy. Right? And my enemy, Satan, the devil, he would have been in my ear telling me every time I was up here trying to preach, he would have been reminding me $1.18. You sold out Christ for $1.18. At least Judas did it for 30 pieces of silver. You did it for $1.18. How dare you preach?
Damage your fellowship.
Amen. I want the peace of God so much that there's nothing on this earth that I'm willing to sacrifice for that, for the peace of God. I want God more. I love my wife. I love my wife. Right? I absolutely, I do. 24 years, she's put up with me. I love her, not just for that, but for all the cookies that she's... Look at this belly, right? She gave me that. When I moved here, I was 129 pounds of rock. Now I'm 190 pounds of flat. She calls me flabulous. You look flabulous. Anyhow, I can tell it's getting close to that time. And I haven't even begun to talk about unity yet. I mean, I'm talking about it, but the depth of unity, the depth of the desire of unity. Do you want the peace of God? That's the unity of Christ, really. The peace I have with God lets me know that I am His. That there's nothing worth me losing that unity with God. The unity with the body of Christ. You know why I don't meet with females alone in any situation? Not because I'm Pence. I think he's a liar and a thief. Anyhow, that's beside the point. Again, he's proven that. All right. The reason I don't meet with females alone of any size, any sex, any age group, I don't care if she's like 104 years old, I'm not going to go to her alone, me and her alone. I don't care if she's 4 years old, I'm not going to her alone. I've made this mistake twice since I've been married, to be alone with a woman, and both times have turned out bad. I didn't do anything, but the accusation, the ability for them to say, you were alone with me. Nobody else was there. I'm not willing to lose that unity with God, with my wife, with the church. What would happen if somebody came up today and said, well, Wednesday evening or Wednesday morning or sometime, Pastor and I were at a restaurant together eating. Me and another female. Nothing wrong. We didn't do anything. But somebody saw us there. They saw me going into a liquor store or the head shop down the aisle down there, right? And they saw me coming out with a bag of stuff. How horrible would that hurt the church? All right? It would break our unity. It would break this trust. It would break the peace. It would break... trust and peace. I guess that's really it, the unity. It would plant that seed of unbelief in the leadership of the body of Christ. So that's why don't do it. Just don't do it. This is what caused the problem with me and my stepson. All right? Because I said right here in the pulpit that I didn't have a drop of alcohol in my house, which was a lie. I make tinctures. You know what that means? I have liquor in my house. I don't drink the liquor for a buzz. I make tinctures, all right? I make cough medicine. I do those things. But what I said is I didn't have a drop of liquor in my house. He found liquor in my house. In fact, he got drunk off the liquor in my house. And then he accused me of being a liar to you, which actually was true. Which caused the division, which broke the unity, right?
Which means you can lie not meaning to.
Yes, yes.
As far as you were concerned, you were telling the truth.
Amen, yeah.
Because I'm drinking it.
Right, amen. But there was a drop of liquor in my house. Well, actually, if you have NyQuil, you got a drop of liquor in your house. You got vanilla extract, you got a drop of liquor in your house. Right, amen? But what I said and what he took, you know, is what broke the unity down. Now, there was no spiritual unity because he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't want to know the Lord. So there's never that unity there. But there was the family structure that now is damaged, you know, for a couple different reasons. One is because he thought I was a liar. All right. Well, actually, one, he caught me in a lie because I said I didn't have a drop of liquor in my house. I do. The other is that he accused me of being a liar and a drunkard, right? And then he started downplaying the body of Christ, which caused my temper to rise. When my temper rised, then my flesh came out. When my flesh came out, but by the grace of God, he's still breathing. Because I was going to put him down like a dog, you know, in my flesh. But God, amen? Anybody else been in that scenario? Amen? Right? It happens.
No, that never happened
to me. No, not to you. No, not to you. There's no video of a parking lot in you, I'm sure. So, but you understand what I'm saying? Is it worth breaking the unity over something so minuscule? Right? That's why I always confess it to you. I use this as a life lesson, right? Because this is what happened. Right? And it is. I mean, I can't deny it. Ain't going to. I'm not a good liar. Right? I'm a miserable liar. That's why I try to tell the truth. If you tell the truth, you never get caught in a lie.
Right? You don't have to remember
it. You don't have to remember it. Amen. It's just the truth. And so, I said that we're going to get further in this than we are, but it's already 20 after 12. Folks, and my brother.
I just got it real quick. I think it's important for all of us to a certain extent, whatever that is for individuals, to hold each other accountable.
Amen.
I agree with that. However, if you're going to look at somebody's else, and I'm not talking about whoever that was, but if you're going to look at somebody else's life through a microscope, make sure you took that microscope on your own.
Amen.
First. You know what I mean? Instead of saying, because sin is easy to point out on other people.
Yeah.
But if you sit down and say, oh man, that sin in that person really bugs me. Well, why? Maybe that sin is in you.
Oh, come on now.
You know what I mean? So I'm just going to
learn about that.
Yeah.
Take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your neighbor's.
Jesus said, amen. You can find scripture to back that up, so that ain't an opinion. Amen. That's the word of God. If you see a speck in your neighbor's eye, and say, here, let me come remove that speck out of your eye, and you have a plank in your own eye, all you're going to do is gouge that guy's eye out. You know, you're not really going to help. So keep the unity, the peace, my sister.
Yeah, I just want to say something, get back to a lie. Uh-huh. When a person lies once, it becomes a habit, and it grows and becomes an avalanche.
Amen.
And comes back to haunt you.
Again, we can have scripture to do that. If you give a little bit more, a little bit more, and before you know, you're in death, right? And so we'll continue this over the next several weeks. Praise God, because only got through the introduction. We got to talk about the peace of God, all right? This unity, this peace of God, peace with God. Man, and we're going to talk about that next week.
Next month.
Yeah, next month, yes, because it will be next month. And so, folks, I love you. I absolutely do. And I know a lot of folks think that we're really weird the way that we do church, you know, because it's an open forum kind of a thing, and I'm not very formal. But I want to hear what the Spirit of God has to say through Doug and through Doug and Dean, Mike. Yeah, what the Spirit of God has to say through you guys. Because it's not about me and what I have to say. It's how this is the unity of the Spirit, right? And what you had to say, Dean, was extremely important. And it changed. It really did. It changed the trajectory of the whole sermon today. But by the grace of God, that gave us a lot of time to get these things that we were concerned about, that was on our heart, on our mind, out in the open, that we could work it out, that we could talk
about. The word I was looking for was iniquity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's,
yes.
Plant that in your heart, you know?
Yeah.
And if when you really think about it, you know, the tens of millions of true believers that fell into that trap, and they're praying right now, but they got iniquity in their heart.
Yeah.
Their prayers are getting hindered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Amen.
What's interesting too, there was an immediate response by French people.
Mm-hmm.
Said those people don't represent us.
Right.
Don't throw us all under the bus with these people. So.
Yeah, it's the money behind it, right?
Yeah.
It's the love of money, and so you probably know the Olympic sign, the circles. Yeah. Isn't that some kind of demonic thing? Yeah, it's symbolic. I mean, the whole thing is, well, even from the first Olympics back in Rome, right? And it's been wicked
the whole time. Earth worship.
Yeah, earth worship.
They represent earth, wind, fire. It's so those circles are earth worship, which is Gaiaism.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and they're in unity, and they don't look alike.
Amen. Oh, thank you.
Those circles. They don't look alike, but they're in unity.
They're in unity. They're all locked together. So, I don't remember. I don't know.
Six of them.
And so,
five.
Yeah. Anyhow, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. All I do know is that I don't want any part of it. I don't want to be unified with that, right? I want my unity to be in Christ Jesus. I want my unity to be in the body of believers. I want my unity to be in the heavenly realms. I want my unity to be under the Spirit of God in the temple of God, held out, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? My mindset wants to be there. My unity, my heart wants to be there. And anything that might break that unity here, I want to dispel that out of my life. You know, whatever that is. And it can be different from all of us, or all of us could have different things. The thing is, the one, if we could pull anything out of this, the one thing I want is peace with God, the peace of God, and the unity of the believers. And so we'll get into more of that as the months go on. Unity is a big thing. It's kind of like truth. There's so much about unity. There's so much about truth. We're doing truth in the early morning Sunday gathering, not being deceived. And then we'll be talking about unity and the fellowship of the believers for the next while. All right? Not that I'm trying to get out of studying. If you think I'm getting out of studying, do a little word search. Yeah. And my brother.
Just real quick. God says there's two paths.
Yes.
He says there's two paths. And the other thing he says is you choose.
Yeah.
You choose. All of us.
Yeah.
He gives every single person their free will. You choose. You know what I mean?
And so, amen.
Yeah, even Joshua didn't say you will do this.
No.
He told you, you choose.
Yeah, I'll show you two mountains.
Which gods?
The God that your fathers worshipped or the one true living God.
That's right.
Who are you going to be united with? You got a choice.
That's right.
You know? I'm not here to force you. In fact, I can't force you. If I could force you, you'd be worshipers of Curtis. Not that that would be a bad thing. Probably send you to hell, but you know.
My shoulders would be popped up
again. I say be worshipers of Jesus Christ. Be teachers of Him crucified and resurrected. Show the love and the unity in the body of Christ. And so a three-bound cord is not easily broken, right? You, me, and the Father, the Spirit of God. Tie us together. We can't easily be broken. But you got to keep that unity, right? And so anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful. Lord, we're grateful for your love, your grace, your truth. Lord, we lift up our hearts and we do pray, Lord, as we look into unity and we look into your word, the very truth of God, that you would work in our hearts and minds. Help us to be conformed into your image. Is my heart's cry, is my heart's cry for me and for the body of Christ, Lord, that we would be so tightly wrapped together in you that our desires, our heart, our lust wouldn't even be seen anymore, Lord, but it would all be you. Lord, and we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.